Good morning. This book we're studying, called Spiritual Power of Truth by Joel Goldsmith, this is a book for practitioners and should not be studied by a beginning student. The young student should go through the books as he outlined, beginning with Living the Infinite Way, and then practicing the presence, and then the art of meditation, and then any book that comes to you after that. This book is for students that are seriously studying the principles of the Infinite Way. A serious study. At one point in my life, I realized I did not understand the nature of error. So I contacted the Infinite Way, which was in Arizona at the time, and I ordered every single tape on the nature of error. Dozens of tapes. And I began an earnest, serious study of the nature of error. You see, the nature of God, it's something that happens to you when, either accidentally or in your meditation, you have the God experience. From that point on, you know God is. But what about this error that's tearing you apart? There was a really good mystic that spoke eloquently and wrote a book on the nature of God. And they died horribly with lung cancer. And Joel says there are dozens and dozens, hundreds of mystics that never quite understood the principles of the nature of error. So I studied and studied and studied. And finally, I began to put the specific principles into practice. And my life got better. It got completely free of anything touching me personally. And then I got busy in life. I got married, and my wife and I raised 151 special needs foster children. And that'll keep you busy and keep your attention focused on them. And sometimes I would sit down in the evening and read a little bit. And it just, the years rolled by. I mean, they rolled by. Well, I took the books back out and some of the tapes, and I began earnestly to put these principles into practice. And I've been practicing ever since. That's been a couple years now. So I am working with these principles that I am reading to you. And I can tell you, a beginning student, a new student, a young student, is not ready for this. They have to prepare the foundation before they build a house. And the house, of course, is built by these principles. And two of the principles, perhaps the only two, of the infinite way are the nature of God and the nature of error. And this chapter, chapter 9, is titled God and Error. And Joel begins with, when we undertake the study of the infinite way, it must seem to be a difficult subject, one not easily to encompass. The reason is, we are always hitting up against more and more principles. Every time we read a book, or every time we hear a tape, there are more principles, and we wonder if we are ever going to get to the end of it. Now, those of you who know that my website is called mysticalprinciples.com. Because there are specific principles. But, he says, as a matter of fact, it is not quite that way. There are not many principles revealed in the message of the infinite way. What seems to make it so involved is that each principle requires so many different ways of hearing and reading before we actually attain the consciousness of it, the conscious awareness of it. For instance, one of the major principles of the infinite way is the nature of God. The God of the infinite way is a very strange God, because it is a God that we cannot pray to for anything. Now that should be a shocker. You cannot pray to God for anything. How strange. This is because our God is not withholding anything. And if it is not withholding anything, it cannot give anything. So right there we find ourselves in trouble. That is all there is to that particular principle. There is no God to pray to for anything, because God is not withholding anything. However, if you think that anyone can possibly understand that without a year or two or 3 years of thinking of it in 100 different ways, you are mistaken. The sun is shining, and it is manifesting both warmth and light. It's not giving it because it is not withholding it. It is an eternal state of being. So you can see that to pray to the sun for light or warmth is nonsense. Eventually you get to see that this is the truth about God. God is a state of infinite divine being. God is always being. Therefore, there is no way to influence God to be more of God. Even God cannot withhold its godliness. Yes, if you want sunshine, if you want warmth, you step outside into the sun, and you feel that warmth on your face, on your hands and arms. It's wonderful. Particularly if you're in the dead of winter and springtime comes and you feel that warmth for the first time. The sun didn't do anything. You didn't pray to the sun. You stepped into the sun. It is the same with God. You don't pray for anything. If you want God, you have to step into God. You have to align yourself with God. Well, how do you do that? Everything that is an expression of the consciousness of God, and it's under spiritual law. You can go through the Infinite Way writings and spend months just on the nature of God. This is not because there are a lot of principles to learn. There's only one principle, the principle of the nature of God. However, there are hundreds of facets of that nature, and it is the study of those facets of that nature that eventually gives you the consciousness that you can rest back in God instead of praying to God. All right, so praying to God is not going to bring you in alignment. But when you study this principle of the nature of God and something clicks, you are able to rest back in God, and that's bringing yourself in alignment, just like stepping out into the sun. Shine. In the same way, our next principle is the nature of error. Once you have comprehended the nature of God, you do not have any error to comprehend or to understand, because there cannot be an infinity of good and of error. Therefore, you come to the fact that error must be illusory in nature. As we follow the nature of God and the nature of error, we come to the realization of the impersonal nature of good and the impersonal nature of evil or error. So we are still on the subject of God and error. With just those two principles, think how many different ways we are approaching the subject in order to develop an actual consciousness, conscious awareness, where we come to the point of resist not evil. Until we come to the consciousness of resist not evil, we are not in the practice of the Infinite Way. As long as we are using the power of God over sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation, we are not in the Infinite Way. We are in the Infinite Way practice only when we have arrived at the state of consciousness that does not fight error, or that does not try to get God to do something to error. Well, that's pretty heavy duty, because if you do not have the conscious awareness of the nature of error, you are not in the Infinite Way. If you don't have the consciousness, the conscious awareness of the nature of God, you are not in the Infinite Way. Now, we all hear people say, I've been in the Infinite Way for 17 years or 15 years or even 50 years or even 52 years in my case. But if you listen, really listen to what these souls are saying, you can see they are not in the Infinite Way. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but it should spur you on. Okay, how can I come to a conscious awareness of the nature of God and the nature of error? We still have not moved away from the nature of error, the nature of God. But see how many ramifications, how many facets we go through to arrive at that consciousness. Now, do you see here what's going on? He's telling you how to have a change in consciousness so that you're not just aware of the five physical senses and a personal sense of self, personal sense of life. You are moving out of that into a new consciousness, a consciousness of grace, a consciousness of the nature of God, and out of a consciousness of the third dimension, and into a consciousness that sees through error. The nature of error is nothingness. Now, if you have the conscious awareness of that, well, that's what we're all moving towards, isn't it? So, it is right to say that for the young student, this is going to be a very difficult path, because they must overcome every bit of belief or understanding that they ever had about God. They have to lose the God of the Orthodox Church. They even have to lose the God of the metaphysical world. They have to come into the awareness of the God that is, into an awareness, an actual consciousness of the nature of God. Then, of course, they have to violate every teaching that has ever existed, whether orthodoxy or metaphysics, as to the nature of error, until they see that error is not personal. If you see a man stealing, you cannot call him a thief, because it is not the man. It is the carnal mind, this ignorance of the nature of God, this ignorance of the nature of error. So whether a person is sick or in sin, in poverty, it is still the impersonal carnal mind, or the arm of flesh, that we recognize to be nothingness, because it does not have its source in God. Alright, so Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, said, "Carnal mind is a term meaning nothingness. Carnal mind is not some big super mind somewhere that you need to fight, get rid of, rise above. Carnal mind is a term meaning nothingness. If you went looking for a chocolate brownie, that you left in the refrigerator and somebody ate it, you would know instantly there's no brownie. Nothing. It's gone. If you have the consciousness of the nature of error, you should be able to look at somebody with cancer and have the same realization. Wait, this is not a person. This is that carnal mind. Nothing. It's gone. Now, you are unable to do that, most of you, which is why we're studying this. Evil, error, cannot have its rise in God. God is too pure to behold iniquity. God is love, not hate. God is life, not death. God is wholeness, not limitation. So you see that while it may take the student 2, 3, 4, 5 years of very dedicated study before they actually come into a consciousness of the nature of God and a consciousness of the nature of error, nevertheless, when they are all done, they still will have attained only those two major principles. 5 years of very dedicated study. Now, when I ordered those tapes on the nature of error, and I listened to them and began to practice, that was very dedicated study. To read this book or other books and to feel that you have studied because you read the book and thought about it. No, you haven't. You haven't studied until you take up the principles and begin to practice on every bit of error that touches you, that touches your consciousness. The world is in turmoil. Israel is fighting Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis, and Iran. And Iran is fighting through its proxies to push Israel from the river to the sea. If you are an Iranian and you follow the leader, you feel that Israel is bad. They're evil. And you want them gone. And you believe that fighting them is the answer. And if I was Iranian and in that same state of mind, I would be right there with them. And if you are in Israel, if you're Jewish, and you believe in the Ten Commandments, and you believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you are going to be pushing back. And you're going to be pushing hard. You're going to be taking out the bombs and the missiles, as is Iran. And you, what do you really have? You have a stalemate. Both sides are pushing against error, what they perceive as evil. Who's right? Well, you won't like it, but they're both wrong, because they're both hypnotized. One with God is a majority. One person with the conscious awareness of the nature of God and the conscious awareness of the nature of error would be able to look through the illusion that's being presented and it may flee. It may dissolve. Because one with God is a majority. But apparently there's not one there. Now I love Rumi. R-U-M-I, Rumi. And I really enjoyed The Prophet by Cahil Gibran. And so I know there are Arabs who have the conscious awareness. Some little, some a lot. And I enjoy the little snippets I've received from the Torah. And I know there are Jewish saints and seers who know the truth. But right now, there is not one with God to be that majority. Perhaps we can pray aright. If we have the consciousness of one, maybe we can make a difference. All right. Along with that, with these two principles, the nature of God and the nature of error, they will have learned something else. Without setting out to do it, they will have learned the nature of prayer. Because automatically the understanding of the nature of God stops a person from asking or demanding something of God, or trying to influence or bribe God. And this alone sets a person off on a whole new angle of prayer. And the thought must eventually come, how in heaven's name then do I bring myself under God's grace? Do I bring myself in alignment with God? Well, in those 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they will find a dozen different ways before they eventually get to the ultimate where they realize that you are never going to get under God's grace through your words or thoughts. You are going to get under God's grace or in alignment with God only when you have gotten past words and thoughts to the place where you just sit in a state of receptivity until you feel the presence and power of God upon you. Now, over and over and over and over and over in the writings, he talks about being receptive. Remember? And here he talks about it again. Sitting in a state of receptivity until you feel the presence and power of God upon you. Now, that's a real experience. When you receive the awareness of the presence of God and the power of God upon you, you have received Him. As many as received Him, to them gives He power to be the Son of God. Now, at the end of this chapter, I wrote, if you really work with these principles 2, 3, 4, 5 years, then you are no longer the natural man. You have lifted consciousness and are now the Son of God. And that is the one that with God is a majority. And this is where we are walking. Now, he says, if the beginner were to try that, sitting in a state of receptivity, they would go to sleep, or they would hypnotize themselves, or they would develop a false faith. In other words, a beginner cannot attempt to reach God through the silence. Now, that's really something, if you think about it. We're told over and over, God is reached only in silence. And here's a line that says, a beginner cannot attempt to reach God through the silence. That can only come after you have tried every other way and have finally realized none of this is the way. That is the way. By this time, when you are silent, there's no danger of falling asleep. You're wide awake, alert. There's no danger now of any false gods or occult realms. Now you know. Be still. God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in the clamor of the human mind. God is not in words and thoughts of man's origin. God is in the still small voice. Something like 50 years ago, I was standing in a church, and Don was there, my first teacher. And I asked him a question. I had been reading A Parenthesis in Eternity, and I asked him a question. And he said to me, oh, I wish that you had gone through metaphysics before asking this question. And now, all these many years later, and practice later, I recognize that he was seeing that I was a beginning student. Only 2 years. Actually, only 1 year at that time. Maybe 1.5. And he was seeing that I had not yet tried to practice metaphysics. And I was trying to launch out into the deep of mysticism. I realize now he was right. And so I had to, well, what I did was I went back and I looked at Joel's order of books, and I went back to practicing the presence. Not so I could just have a nice little trip down memory lane, but so I could pick up the tools and actually practice the presence throughout my day and night. See, I want this thing more than anything else, more than anyone else, and I will have it. And so I'm not opposed to going back and saying, what did I miss? And so he says here, you can see that it must take all the reading matter and all the tapes and all the years of study until we come to this consciousness, when all that drops away and all we are left with is the nature of God and the nature of error and an inner stillness and inner peace. You can understand at this point why the mystics had very little to say, why eventually they left their students and went away. This was because it all seemed such foolishness to keep repeating and repeating the same things, even if you repeated them in 100 different ways. Yes, and don't think I haven't thought of that. In fact, I'm leaving for the next 2 weeks because I'm taking some time off and I'm going to have Thanksgiving and I'm going to be still from this for a little while. And then I'll be back for the next chapter, which is A Harmonious Universe. Now, he says, these are necessary for the beginner. There's no other way for them to attain it. But it becomes unnecessary once you have released God. Once you have released God, there is no need for all these words and thoughts. Now the need is for inner quiet contemplation. Now the need is for inner introspection, just pondering the nature of God within, communing with the Spirit within. Along with this, after 4 or 5 years, has come to you to look out there at this world and completely impersonalize that. Impersonalize it. Now, if you are not able to look out at this world and completely impersonalize it, you missed something. Go back. Find out what you missed so that you can practice, so that you can attain the consciousness that can look out at the world and impersonalize it. When you are seeing good, you are saying, ah, I am seeing more and more of the divine nature coming into expression or appearing. Also, when you see evil, when you see error, you are not personalizing it. But immediately you say, ah, yes. Yes, it's the carnal mind, the arm of flesh, nothingness. When you see some part of the world still determined to have war, or you see the determination of both sides not to settle, each one wanting to have its own way, you no longer blame them. You no longer blame the leaders. Now you say, carnal mind. Or, he said, you can use any term you like so long as it means nothingness, remember? You can say world mind. You can say mortal mind. You can say hypnotism, mesmerism. You can say water on the road in the desert. You can say error. You can use any term you like so long as it means nothingness. The moment you have recognized it as carnal mind, mortal mind, hypnotism, you have recognized it as the arm of flesh or nothingness. And you have met it. So a student who has seriously studied these writings for 5 years should at least be at the beginning of that state of consciousness which has settled down into an inner peace. That's because they can see the nature of God, and they can instantly recognize the nature of error. Whatever, wherever it appears, even if it does appear as a person or a condition or a thing, and life becomes simpler, truth becomes simpler, living the truth becomes simpler, because at every sign of good in the world, you have that wonderful feeling of, here is more of the divine consciousness coming into view. And at every sign of error popping up, you just have the feeling, aha, dear old pal, carnal mind, the arm of flesh, or nothingness, thank God we are not going to fight it. It is nothing. Do you see that? After all the tapes that have given us the specific things to handle and how to handle them, and after all that is in those tapes is ingrained in our consciousness, we should be in the position that we are in with 12 times 12. At first, we had to do all the math and go through all the processes to get to 144. But now, when we say 144, it includes all the processes. You could not arrive at 144 if you had not gone through all the processes. So, someone says, Lucy, 144, I mean, sorry, Lucy, 12 times 12, and you automatically say 144. It should be the same with this. If you've practiced for 5 years seriously on every bit of error that touches your consciousness, you should be at the place where someone says, this town that we're in, crime is growing exponentially. You should be able to say, is that right? And then within yourself, carnal mind, a term meaning nothingness. Now do you see how horrible it is for a young student to say evil is not real? They have not gone through any processes. All they are doing is mouthing vain repetitions, which they have not at all proven, have not at all learned. So it is for me, he says, a horrible thing to hear young students openly voicing the the most profound statements of truth, because I know they are only parrots. We have to go through every step that is outlined in these writings and recordings and monthly letters. We have to work with them. We have to prove them, principle by principle, until we eventually arrive at the state of consciousness that sees good and says, ah, here is not a good man or a good group. Here is the divine consciousness really being lived and manifested on earth. This is not done by personalizing it, but by seeing it as God in expression. By the same token, reading or hearing about all kinds of evil in the world, we are realizing, we are saying to ourselves, yes, I know thee who thou art. I know thee, the carnal mind, the universal belief in two powers, the arm of flesh, nothingness, no power. I do not have to fight you. I do not have to call upon God. I only have to recognize you, and it is done. At this stage, if we have been faithful in all our specific work, we should be able to work like this. Suppose it comes over the air, or in the paper, that this is the flu season or the polio season. Why should that strike terror in us? Why should we have to sit down for an hour? After all these years of infinite way study, why should we sit down for an hour and practice? Should we not be able to say, ah, yes, here comes that belief in two powers, and dismiss it. Dismiss it. Suppose there are threats of war. Why should we not, at this stage of our unfoldment, that's after 5 years of serious study, practice, and proving, why should we not be able, even if we're about our business or our housework, or taking a bath, or involved in anything else, when we get the news, say, yes, but they have only temporal power, and shrug it off. All right, now, you have to have the consciousness to do that. You can repeat these words and shrug it off. And then the tidal wave will come and crash into your house and devour you. But if you have the consciousness of this, and you are able to see through error, see God manifesting, then they announce the tidal wave is on the way, and you finish cooking your chicken casserole, and it never hits. You turn on the news later on, and they say, well, it took a different path at the last moment. Or whatever they say, it dissolved. It never came. Now, I am not saying to you that a young student should even dare this. They must go through all the processes until they have attained the conscious awareness. The reason is, and never forget this, there is a third principle. The natural man is not under the law of God. So it is that the natural man, the young student, their words and thoughts are all powerless. They have no power to nullify the appearance. They have no power to bring the grace of God into expression. They are still the natural man who is not under the law of God, neither indeed can be. Well, that's kind of a slap in the face, isn't it? The young student is not under the law of God. The young student is the natural man. The young student's words and thoughts are powerless. All powerless. It is only when you have developed, and that developed comes from practice and proving, only when you have developed the fourth dimensional consciousness that error is nullified. You do not even have to voice anything. You could look at error rolling down, smile at it, and it would fade and fall away if you attained the consciousness of the nothingness of error. You would not have to fight and bring yourself to a point of realization. If you are in the fourth dimensional consciousness, you could say, "What did hinder you? Pick up your bed and walk." You cannot say this from the third dimensional consciousness. That is why all these young practitioners are not achieving the healings and are wondering why. Since they know the same truth that everybody else knows, the reason is it is not knowing the truth that does it. What does it is the attaining of the fourth dimensional consciousness or conscious awareness of truth. It is only when you have arrived at the place where evil is not real in your consciousness, error is not real, that you can do the great healing works. Now, most of our students are not doing good work. I am sure they must wonder why. Because they have these tapes. They attend these meetings. They know the books. But they do not realize that the reason is they have not worked with them long enough or faithfully enough to have attained the actual conscious awareness, where they can look out here and just smile at error, knowing it is universal belief in two powers, not ordained of God and therefore nothingness. When a person conducts an infinite way meeting, it's not going to be too fruitful, except in proportion to their ability to look out from up here and see the divine consciousness of God as the consciousness of every individual, and at the same time see all of the error out there, the sin, the disease, false appetite, lack, and limitation, as the carnal mind. Error is not to be treated, not to be worked against, not to be fought, not to be overcome. It is to be recognized as the carnal mind, a belief in two powers, the arm of flesh, or nothingness. Now, that was another thing. I did not understand arm of flesh. I had a buddy tell me, well, he saw that as an arm without a bone in it. It's kind of flopping around, just flesh. Well, I could see that, but it didn't do it for me. And then I ran into that thing which I've already quoted you, where he says in the chapter, "What did hinder you?" in the book, The Art of Spiritual Healing, choose any term you like so long as it represents nothingness. And so I went through the terms. I practiced with each one until I came to a term that means nothingness for me. He obviously likes carnal mind and arm of flesh. I didn't really like either one of those. But I did like hypnotism, mesmerism. I did like appearance, as Jesus Christ liked. And so those work for me. I can look at something and say, hypnotism, and I know it's nothingness. Each time you are aware of something beautiful out front, love coming up or friendliness coming up, gratitude coming up, there is a smile there. You are seeing it as the divine consciousness, not as a particular person. In the same way, you are bound to see sickness out there, and there is a load of it in every meeting. Sickness, false appetite, sin, lack, limitation, unemployment. However, in proportion as you can sit up here and see all that and inwardly smile, I know thee, who thou art, that universal belief in two powers, the carnal mind, the arm of flesh, nothingness. They must go away uplifted. They must go out healed. Those who are receptive, that is what gives you your power, not what you are saying. It is the consciousness you have attained. It is not the words in our books. Everybody has the same words in the same books. It is, however, arriving at that state of consciousness or conscious awareness. You should be sure that you are handling these specific principles, which is the nature of God, the nature of error. Remember, the reason you are doing it is to arrive at the state of consciousness where you look out into this world and see only two things. One, divine consciousness being more and more manifest. And two, the nothingness of the carnal mind. If you can work with these two principles for 3, 4, 5 years, serious dedication, read everything you can, meditate on it, contemplate it, and then put it into practice. Prove it. If someone says to you, I have a headache, will you help me? You say, yes, I will help you. You hang up the phone. Now you practice these principles. You prove them. And if the person says, it's worse, well, you continue to practice these principles. And if the person says, fantastic, it's gone, well, you continue to practice these principles. So that is God and error. And I really feel this is a book for practitioners. It's definitely not for beginners. Well, when we come back together, we will look at a harmonious universe. Thank you. I love you. I want you to have this. But you yourself must practice. You must prove it. Until you are able one day to go, ah, I see. God is. And this little nagging thing, this is impersonal. It belongs to no one. And it is mortal mind. It's an appearance, which is a nothingness. And then rest. And then you see that this little nagging thing disappears. You are at one with God. You are one with God, which is a majority. And then you can go on to bigger things and bigger things. And finally, you'll be able to do world work. This is the path. Please join me and let us come into this consciousness. God bless.